All right, you can go ahead and open your Bibles up to Luke chapter 7. Here in just a moment, we're going to be in verse 11 of Luke 7. We're going to read a passage that begins at Luke 7:11. As many of you know, this past week, Sarah and I had the opportunity to spend some time out in California, L.A., Malibu area, and so been there a few times, and of course, when you go to that area, you hope to see some celebrities, right? Well, I come back letting you know that we did see some celebrities, but they may only be celebrities around here, and even particularly in this congregation. So we ran into Jeff Dunn and Brad Morrow, so they're kind of like celebrities, right? Maybe around here, many of you know them. Some of you know them quite well, but we did have a great time at Pepperdine University for their lectureships, but we're certainly glad to be back here today. We got in yesterday afternoon, and it's good. It's good to be back to Central Texas. So as you know, this month we are doing a series on families and marriages. Last week, in fact, we talked about having a marriage that is in Christ. And we looked at that text about marriage from Ephesians chapter 5. Today, we are going to talk about mothers primarily. So fitting on this Mother's Day. And then next week, we are going to talk about parenting sort of from the aspect of seniors in high school. Next Sunday is Senior Sunday. Witt is going to be preaching next Sunday morning, and we'll be honoring those seniors. Many of them have grown up their entire lives in this congregation, but this is a great way to honor them and their accomplishments and this transition they're about to enter into in life. And then after that, we're going to have a sermon specifically for those who are single from 1 Corinthians chapter 7. So looking forward to that. And then we will, that last Sunday in May, we'll have a sermon specifically focused on parenting in a way that honors God. But today, we're going to spend time in Luke chapter 7. Let's start at verse 11. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." So this is taking place at a place called Nain, which was a village of Galilee, and it was 25 miles southwest of Capernaum, an important spot in Jesus' ministry. There were a group of disciples that were following him along with a large crowd. By this time, Jesus had called those 12 apostles. And so he had that group that he was teaching, that he was passing his important message onto. But also, as we know, there were many other listeners, some who were in fact giving their life over to Jesus. And so, like first century rabbis and their learners, these students were following their rabbi. And you get this picture as Jesus goes from town to town, just this herd of people following him, soaking up his message, watching him perform the miracles that he was performing. These people were having their lives transformed literally into the image of Jesus. They were soaking it all up. And so Jesus kind of has this posse, and that's what we see as he gets to this town called Nain. It said, as he approached the gate, he saw that there was like this funeral procession taking place. This was a typical place for funerals to happen. As a matter of fact, the burial place would oftentimes be right outside the city gate. And for a first century funeral, there would have been a large group of people, perhaps even the entire town would accompany the family for this very important, sort of sanctified kind of event. As a matter of fact, for the Jews, it was considered righteous to attend funerals. perhaps they would have a potluck afterwards and you'd get a meal out of the deal or something like that. Not really, no potlucks in the first century, or not like we have them now anyways. But so there would be a group of people that would go, and sometimes there would even be professional mourners. These people would weep and wail, literally scream out and beat their chest because of the death of someone in their community. Death in the first century was not a quiet event. There would perhaps even be flutists that would be playing at that time, making some sort of music during that ceremony. This person who died, we're told, was a son. His mother was a widow, and so she was burying her only son. We're told that he was on a bier, a B-I-E-R. This would have been like some sort of wooden contraption in which they would have placed the dead person. And then people, like we do today, they would carry the casket or even just the person right on the bier to the place of burial. And so that's sort of what's taking place there. It's a very sad kind of scene at this moment. Jesus approaches Nain, and there is a funeral procession going on right at that very time. This woman, like I mentioned, was a widow. And so you have to imagine in this moment, this would be especially difficult for her. She had already buried her son or her husband. That funeral had already taken place, and now she's attending the funeral of her own son, her only son. As we know, even in the first century, like now, a lot of social life centers on the family. And so here we have this widow. Her son is now gone. She's on the precipice of even more loneliness in her life. At least that's likely the case. She was destined not only to be lonely, but she was destined also to have many financial and vocational struggles as well. A good majority of the time, the women in this society wouldn't necessarily work. They'd work around the home, but they wouldn't be the ones that were working the field, or they wouldn't be necessarily the ones that were working in the family business. They had other things to attend to, like raising the children and keeping the home, those kind of things. Now, for this widow, what would happen for her? She likely was counting on her only son to provide for her. So now she would have to not only attend to the home, doing the cooking and cleaning in the home, but she would also have to either work in a family business, or she would have to work the fields, sowing and planting and harvesting, all that was involved in that. Her future, at best, was going to be full of struggle, and at worst, was going to be hopeless for her. Today, these people showed up for her funeral. There was all kinds of noise, people weeping and wailing, perhaps even musicians playing music. It was loud, and yet imagine that all of that sound was reminding her that there was community that was surrounding her today. But what about tomorrow? What about the next week? What about the next month? What kind of sound would she hear then? Would she hear the sound of voices? Or would it be quiet and lonely? You have to wonder. So there was a large crowd there today, but who knows about tomorrow? We're told in verse 13, says, when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, don't cry. So Jesus, along with the followers, they show up here, and you have Jesus in that moment. He steps in, goes right to the widow, and he says, don't cry. Now, Sarah can attest to this. I've said a lot of awkward things in my life, but nothing quite as awkward as this, right? Jesus goes to a widow, burying her own her only son. And Jesus goes up and says, don't cry. I kind of compare this to like going into the grocery store and you see a young mom with a couple toddlers. One's running around. Another little baby is crying. And you walk up to this young mom at that time in the grocery aisle and you say, don't stress out. Yeah, right. Or going to a Texas football fan, right? They lose another game. I know, it doesn't happen. But imagine that they lost another game. And you say, no, don't worry about it. The national championship, it's still in your future. You know, you just don't go and say something like that. That's not cool. It's not kosher. For some of us, remember finals weeks or finals week in college, right? You have all those tests that you have to study for. It's like going up to a college student during finals week and just saying, don't worry about it. You've got this. As they're stressing out about the test to coming up. But for Jesus, perhaps he's the only person that can go up to a widow in a time like this and say, don't cry, and then show why he says it. And that's what we see in verses 14 through 17. Then he went up and touched the bier they were carrying him on, and the bearers stood still. He said, young man, I say to you, get up. The dead man sat up and began to talk. I have to wonder, what did he say at that time? You know, what was he talking about? We're not told. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. A great prophet has appeared among us, they said. God has come to help his people. This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. So we're told that Jesus touched the bier. Again, that's B-I-E-R. I looked it up. It says it's pronounced bier, so that's how I'm going to say it. So this device, as we said, was to use to carry the dead body. Now, Jesus touched it. That was something that was not cool in that time, specifically for a Jew. But Jesus, moved by what he was seeing, went up and he touched that device. Again, I believe showing the compassion that he had, not only for the dead son, but also for the living mother. You have to imagine in that moment, as people were watching this take place, this random guy, right, going up, people are thinking, what in the world is this guy doing? Is he not socially aware at this point? Just cry, maybe beat your chest, but don't walk up and touch the bier. But that's what Jesus does. Once again, in the ministry of Jesus, we see him do something extraordinary. And this is a side note, but I believe it's important. As I reflect on my life, and as you reflect on your life, as we follow Jesus, how often do we do something extraordinary in the name of Jesus? How often do I do something extraordinary in the name of Jesus? How often do you do something? How often do I do something where people say, what is he doing? Why is he doing that? That's not cool. But when it's done in the name of Jesus, it is cool. It is the thing to do. The boy raises from the dead in the hand of Jesus. And Jesus, we're told here by Luke, gives the child back to his mother, restoring that relationship, and in a very real way, restoring that lady's future. Her only son is back to life. He's there to support her. He's there to care for her. He's there to be that companion on those quiet, lonely nights. We're told that the people were filled with awe and praised God. Once again, as the people see an extraordinary act of Jesus, we're told the people were filled with awe, just taken aback by what they see. And I'm going to ask this question. When was the last time you were filled with awe over what you saw Jesus do? When was the last time you were filled with awe and praised God because of some incredible event take place in your very eyes? And here is what I want to point out. Perhaps you haven't been looking. Perhaps you haven't been seeing what he's been doing all around us. I have a question here. Why did Jesus do this? Why did Jesus first approach the woman? And then why did he raise this child back to life? The child was going to die again. I think it's because of this. We're told that he saw her and his heart went out to her. I think this miracle, perhaps more than any of the others, demonstrates Jesus' care for his people and especially those who are hurting. He saw the woman and he had compassion. His heart went out to her. Literally, he was moved in his gut by what he saw. The Greek word there is splachnon. It's moved in the gut, right in here, by what he saw. That's the kind of compassion that he had. There's a tribe in South Africa, northern South Africa. They have a greeting. And the greeting that they have is Sona or Sawubona. When they see each other, they say Sawubona. What they mean when they say that is, I see you. So when they go up to someone, they don't say something like, hello, good day, auf Wiedersehen, or whatever. They say, Sawubona. I see you. And that greeting means or it implies that when you come in contact with someone, you are validating and affirming their existence. You are saying, I am present with you, and more importantly, you are present with me. I see you. We might say it like this today, I feel you. I feel you. I got you. That's what Jesus is saying to this woman. I see you. Jesus saw her in all of her pain, hurts, and agony. Don't we all want to be seen? Don't we all want to be affirmed and validated? Don't we want others to know that we are present with them, to see their care? Jesus saw this woman, and his heart went out to her. Mothers here today, on this Mother's Day, we want you to know that we see you and our heart goes out to you. As the church, as a people seeking to see as Jesus sees, mothers, we see you and our heart goes out to you. Of course, for us, our seeing you and having compassion for you won't necessarily lead to your son or your daughter being raised from the dead. But through us seeing you and having our hearts go out to you, we will be showing you where you can find one who can bring your son or daughter back from the dead, Jesus Christ. Through seeing you and having compassion for you, we are saying that we will help you in the difficult task of raising a child, especially in those toddler years and in those teenage years. We're stepping in and we're saying we see you and our heart goes out to you. As a church family, we desire to stand alongside you as you raise your children. And also, as we see you and as our heart goes out to you, we want to communicate to you, mothers, that we desire to offer you a listening ear, a shoulder to cry on, a hand to hold, and a strong back to help you lift whatever comes your way. And I know this. I know Mother's Day means different things for different people. So I want to say this. Again, basing this on verse 13 of our text today, that Jesus saw the woman and his heart went out to her. For those of you here today, perhaps you're a mother, or perhaps you're a woman that deeply desires to have a baby but can't have one, or you did desire to have one but it just wasn't what God had in store for you. We want you to know that as Jesus' heart goes out to you, our heart goes out to you as well. For some of you here today, Mother's Day reminds you of a mother that you had who was a bad mother, perhaps even an abusive mother, we want you to know that our heart goes out to you, just as Jesus' heart goes out to you. For some of you here today, this day just brings on all kinds of sadness because you miss your mother so much. Jesus' heart goes out to you, and ours does as well. There are single mothers here who are about to collapse under the weight of the responsibility that they have, working multiple jobs and raising children all alone. Our heart goes out to you. We see you as Jesus sees you. There are mothers to be here, excited and nervous and everything in between. We see you, and our heart goes out to you. And I know that in a congregation of this size, there are mothers in this church who have not only played a obviously very important role in raising your own children, but you've been helping to raise other children as well. And most importantly, you've been helping to raise those children to have a relationship with God. We see you, and our heart goes out to you. And there are foster mothers, those who have accepted the enormous task of raising children that perhaps you didn't physically bear. We see you, and our heart goes out to you. In the Gospels, we're told about another mother that Jesus saw. But this time, he was the one who was dying. We read about this in John chapter 19, starting in verse 25. John writes there, "Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, 'Woman, here is your son.' And to the disciple, 'Here is your mother.' From that time on, this disciple took her into his home." Jesus saw his mother, and even as he was hanging on a cross, dying, he still saw his mother, and his heart went out to her. Today there is no challenge. There's no "do these three things." Here is what I would encourage you to do. All of us, not just mothers. Dive deeply into the waters of this truth. Jesus sees you, and his heart goes out to you. After Jesus had performed this miracle, this son was back to life. He was talking. He was living. The people said, "God has come to help his people." And that is the truth. He came then, and he is still helping his people today. Jesus sees you. Do you see him? If there's anybody here today that needs the prayers of this assembly, or is ready to put on Christ in the waters of baptism, whatever need that you have, you can come forward as we stand and continue our worship.